Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland. Sheila back from her hometown visit in Portland, Oregon for our next episode. We're at 23rd and Vine, which is the Bourbon Street on the south side, East Carson, next to the Birmingham Bridge, thanks to Bob Bazzelli and Lou Caputo, the owners. And very excited, Jim. We have theatrical royalty with us.
I am too. I'm excited. Really am. And I got to tell you, I did the Steamworks Theater, small little community theater in Butler.
Yeah.
I did stand up there on Saturday, and two people listened to every show, every podcast.
How are they?
They're really nice. No, they were nice, wonderful people. Just really nice guys, and awesome. they said they listened to every single show. So
I thought
that was kind of cool, right? People coming.
I hope you
saying,
thanked them for all of us.
I did. Yeah,
that
absolutely,
cool.
Man. They're real nice people.
But anyway, well, Mariah C. Kaminsky came to us from the West Coast, speaking of Portland, not too far, Seattle, Washington. Mm-hmm. And the story of how you got to Pittsburgh in and of itself is pretty fascinating, because you are with a Pittsburgh guy.
That's true.
Normally, it's
here.
The Pittsburgh woman that brings the guys back.
True.
But in this case, serendipitously, so you're the creative director at the Pittsburgh Public Theater, mm-hmm. the esteemed O'Reilly in our cultural district.
Hear, hear.
And now it's been, what, 3 years?
Almost 4 years.
Almost four.
Wow.
Yes.
So tell them the story about your husband who didn't think he was ever coming back.
Oh, it's so true. It's so true. I mean, I think he would argue that I brought him back. He grew up in Penn Hills. His family, is from South Hills. And he hightailed it to Seattle in his early 20s. We met out there sometime later. And then I was invited to apply for this job for artistic director at Pittsburgh Public Theater. I had a great job at the Seattle Repertory Theater out there. We were building some really exciting work. But he was like, yeah, Pittsburgh's not so bad. Huh. Give it a shot.
I thought you came here because of the weather.
Oh,
but you say, you know what? It's rainy in Seattle, but where could it be a little less rainy, but just as cloudy?
Jim, here. This is true.
Probably more cloudy here.
It actually, there's more sun here than in Seattle.
Thank you very
and
much.
I don't
Thank
take
you.
It for granted. Not
Thank
a day
you.
Of
Thank
it.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
So how I met Mariah is I get this phone call out of the blue. Hey, Larry, looking for a little cameo stage performance. We're doing A Few Good Men. Love the movie. Jack Nicholson, Tom Cruise, Demi Moore. And I'm thinking, they don't want me for any of those roles.
Jack's role.
But I thought.
What was the famous line? You're in contempt.
You sound just like him.
You can handle the truth.
That's it.
Thank you.
And I get to respond to him. So
thanks for the assist there. I couldn't
So
that.
Lou's.
Lou Castelli, the managing director.
Yeah, I mean, he's
Public.
Who knows my wife from way back when they did theater at CMU.
Wow.
Yep.
Just. As you've seen, you're only a half person from everybody in Pittsburgh.
Right.
It's so true.
So
I've
Lou suggested, I guess, to Mariah about get some local people involved. So I got a call.
Local star talent. Yeah. Star quality is
well,
what he said.
That's true in Rocky Blyer's case. But Rocky and I shared this role, and I thought, okay, it's a cameo.
Right.
We're going to match up our schedules and see what works. And then I realized when I saw the script, the judge, a Marine Corps judge.
You were the judge.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Yes, the man in charge.
How about that?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. After a while, every time I hit the stage, the boards, I heard, Tan Hut. And I like this.
Oh, yeah.
And then I realized this is the only time in my life this is ever going to happen.
Ever. Yes.
So, saluted.
So
every
far,
time you walk in the room.
Highlight.
Mariah was amazing because she sat down with me one day, and I thought to myself, Jim, a schedule for me in the fall with Pitt football, Steeler football.
Yeah, 2 hours of sleep and
that's
it.
My day job. Yeah. You live this life. So I'm thinking, there's actually no way I'm ever going to be able to do this. But we also had the speaker series, so I had some of those
I don't know
in
how you
between.
Do it, actually, still.
So Mariah was such a sweetheart. I didn't know what to expect on the phone. She was prepared. She sent me and we went rehearsal, rehearsal, shows through the entire, broadcast through the entire run.
How many shows did you do?
I don't even remember how many.
30.
I did.
We probably did over 30 shows.
30 performances with your schedule.
Plus all the lead up
rehearsals.
Which started when? In
3 weeks of rehearsals, 3.5 weeks of rehearsals.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And
that is so cool.
So nice Mariah life. Gave me the confidence. And the fact is, my whole life, I waited for that phone call.
Did you always want to do that? Yeah, no,
Larry. You've done everything else, Larry.
Well, he's a quiet guy.
I was a supernumerary.
Larry's just starting. He's just scratching the surface. Larry's
talked about this last week.
He's a quiet superstar, man. He's got the talent. I'm trying to get it.
No
we're
doubt.
Getting it out of him. But as we get older, we're getting less afraid, and we're trying new things, and you're starting to, we're starting to do more things.
Yeah,
so, like stuff like that is. But Lee, you've always had that the guts to do that.
Well, we got the call up for Unsinkable. They're doing this is the Pittsburgh movie. It's about all the legal wranglings after the sinking of the Titanic.
Oh,
so we're in another courtroom now. I'm typecast thanks to you.
Oh my god! Yes.
So I'm going to be a senator. I think. Jim's a senator.
We still have
too.
Your robe.
I don't need the robe. I'm just hanging out at the main table.
I'm playing a vagabond, I think.
Oh, really?
No, I'm making it. I don't know.
Oh, that sounds fun.
I just thought I could play a good vagabond.
That would be 12.
Titanic? I thought I could be the vagabond.
So I got to meet and see Mariah at work.
Yeah.
Now, you're an accomplished actress as well, and you directed A Few Good Men. And I was fascinated from, the first day, the first reading, through opening night and the complete run. It went over like gangbusters. It was so well choreographed.
We had a great
military
time.
Precision.
Well, we had Lieutenant Major Billy Jenkins with us from the Marine
who's
Corps,
now on the board,
who is now on the Pittsburgh Public Theater board.
This is an actual Marine
Who really let us inside the process.
Oh,
and it was
there,
a huge show. I mean, it was
like
15 people.
For authenticity, is that what the Marine was there?
Well, authenticity, he's also a playwright and a writer and an actor. So authenticity, and he brought a lot of creative energy to the room and
he
also
did.
Really got us in order. He did
also,
not let us get away with much,
He brought the gravitas from the military side of things that people respected.
Well, what it meant to wear the uniform.
Yes.
Yeah. But I will say Larry and Rocky were the heart of the show. We
you'd
had
say
a really
that
good
can't,
time.
Can't
yes.
stop those two.
Yes.
Dynamic hearts, man.
We shared a dressing room, Rocky and I.
He's a legend, man. Isn't Rocky the greatest?
You can't imagine. Jim, this is like an out-of-body
Pittsburgh,
experience.
Man. It's so, like God to us.
You want
to
hear
Franco.
An amazing, you never know. I had a program director in college who said to me, do the things you're afraid to do, meaning step out of your comfort
sure,
zone.
Lean in.
Yep.
And I think everybody, to some degree, wants to be an actor at some point in their life.
Mm.
And I've been acting most of my life on the radio,
that's right.
acting like I'm happy to be
sure.
up at 3 a.m. because that is not the case. But I said, I got to do this. This call is not coming again.
Right. Mm. How often do you get a shot to do this?
So,
in major league, venue?
I did it. It was fantastic. It was one of the highlights of my career, my life.
Oh,
sincerely,
man.
I would be so jazzed driving to the theater.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Gave you juice.
Yeah, yeah. And buzzed driving home after the show.
Yeah.
And nervous wreck right up
Don't
until you stepped
up.
On stage. So.
But then you step on stage, right? And you're there with the audience.
Funny.
You're there with the cast.
It's
and it's
like
just like you ride it.
Playing a sport where they always say, the players say after they get the first play, after the first contact, you feel like
You're in. You're in the zone.
Yeah.
But I was with some really outstanding talent, some really experienced talent.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to be in the way of their performance by not being up to a certain level.
Yeah, you got to lead. Yeah, exactly. I know what you're saying.
So here's the outgrowth of that. 2 years later, COVID shut down everything for the 20. This was in 2019, in the fall of 19. I get a phone call. Larry would like you to MC the Marine Corps Scholarship Fund dinner. I said, I really appreciate you reaching out to me, but I did not serve. I was not a Marine. They said, we're aware of that. The guy I was replacing is Jim Roddy, who was a Marine. You know Jim.
Sure.
Jim wasn't feeling well, wasn't up for it. So I go, but I don't understand. They said, we want you.
Wow.
So we go through the whole night. I do this. I go to this dinner, and it is just as you would expect.
Right. Marines.
It's precision. The program's
Dress
going.
Blues.
Many. Oh,
yeah.
Sharp.
Yeah.
And at the end of the evening, when we're about to say goodbye, This Marine stops me. He said, "Stand by, we're not done yet." He comes up on the stage and presents me with this K-bar knife that's etched with
like
my
knife?
Name in it. Yeah, Marine Corps knife in this. Like, and, and I thought, this is so freaking
Rambo.
Cool.
Right. Well, we can bring it next time we walk North Hills. Or North, when we walk North Park.
I have it strapped.
We walk North Park, bring your knife. That's all I'm saying.
I had to strap to
just
me.
Just for show.
The first thing I did was, when I left, I took a picture and sent it to Billy Jenkins because he's the real Marine. I said, I can't believe this has happened. So as we're about to exit the stage, this lieutenant colonel gets up and said, just for the record, the general, Pete Tulares, in the audience, and I saw A Few Good Men at the O'Reilly Theater a couple years ago, and we were talking about who we're going to get to replace Jim Rotty, and we both looked at each other and said, him.
There you go.
Wow.
So because of the play, I got to be at the Marine event. Then I got invited to what they call a mess night.
Really?
And I was the only non-Marine in the room at the Duquesne Club. You talk about humble.
Wow.
And,
that's awesome. You
know, being quiet.
And sitting up straight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I behaved myself.
Oh, yeah.
So all because, Jim.
Pretty cool, man.
Stepped out of my comfort zone. Thanks to Mariah.
Yes.
That's cool. And you're directing. Skill. So do you like, do you love directing? Is it, which
I do love directing.
More so than acting.
At this point, I do. At this point, I do. I used to love acting. And, you know, I love to hear that most people want to be an actor. I think
I
that's
think
true.
So.
And I think a lot of people do acting in their life. You know, it's like storytelling, you know? But directing, I feel like my job looks easy. Yeah, it does. Sometimes, if it's done well. But as a director, I really feel like I get to create the circumstances for other people to do their best work.
Right.
You know, come in with a vision, set the guide rails, and then really let people go for it. And we really got to do that in A Few Good Men.
You immersed us.
The whole was bigger than the sum of its parts.
You really got everybody into the mode, focused us, talked about... You know, the guy that wrote it is Aaron Sorkin, and
Heard of him. Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty popular.
Yeah, yeah.
He's done so many big things.
Oh,
he wrote this play on
things.
Cocktail napkins while he was tending bar.
That's right. In his 20s.
He's a genius, of course.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That film's so iconic, so there is an expectation for the audience that it's going to be good.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you didn't deliver, it was going to be real obvious.
So true. They're waiting for the line. You know the line.
Well, yeah.
Oh, please say it, Jim.
What was it? You're out. You can't
handle the truth.
Jack Nicholson. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Ready.
You can't handle the truth.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good.
That's pretty good. Thanks.
Yeah, that was...
Thanks, Brian.
No problem. Hey.
So when's your next play? How do you direct? Yeah. Like, do you just choose them? How do you do it?
Well, we go through a whole process to plan the season. Sure. We just announced our season for next year. Excited about that. But we have a play opening this Saturday, Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express.
Cool.
We've been cooking it for the last... 2.5 years.
Really?
No, wow. We've only been in rehearsal for three weeks, but have been looking forward to it that long. And it, you know, that what you talk about, Larry, the buzz and the excitement of going to the theater. It's not that I forgot, but you know, it was really tamped down for a couple of years, and it has been so good to be back. And it's a bunch of incredible Pittsburgh artists. I mean, talk about star quality, and we've been having a great time.
I think they will find. For many of them, it might be their first big stage performance.
Some of them, yeah.
Since a couple of years.
Yes, for all of us. We're all...
And they're going to find out audiences are so ripe and welcoming that the acting troupe's going to be really happy. You found this as a stand-up.
Yeah, didn't you say you were sold out this weekend?
Yeah, we sold out every show so far this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Three in a row so far.
Yes!
People want to get out.
Yes, we want to get out. We want to be together. We want to be entertained.
By the way, how did the show go?
Great standing ovation, great crowd. Very nice.
Did you sing?
I heard you sang.
I sang two songs.
What'd you sing?
I sang Beautiful Crazy and I'm a Believer. Beautiful Crazy by Luke Combs. He's a country guy. I'm not really a country guy, but I started getting a little bit of country stuff and I'm a Believer to Monkees. I'm a Believer. Do we have time? We have time to talk.
It's unfiltered.
About 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I was in a comedy festival in Cabo San Lucas. And I work in LA like every 3 months. So I'm known as more of a West Coast comic. They don't know. They have no idea where I'm at. You know, I live in Pittsburgh. It's my home.
Yeah.
But, so the Cabo San Lucas, so it picked like 30 comedians out of LA. We did a festival in Mexico.
Lovely.
So I did it. And the company that did it the following year were in Puerto Vallarta. And they were giving a Lifetime Achievement Award to the duo Sam and Dave.
Yeah.
And one of them passed away, either Sam or Dave. But anyway, one was alive. But to get the Lifetime Achievement Award. And they had all these other, but anyway, I get this call and they said, they're going through the whole thing, Sam and Dave and all these other legendary rock people and soul people, and they're getting, and they said, the DJ that we had was getting a Lifetime Achievement Award. He was an a-hole. He just kept asking for, he's some jock in LA, and he kept asking for like penthouse suites. He wanted like 9 rooms. He wanted this and he wanted that. And they said, like the third, fourth call, they got mad. They're like, you know what? This guy's driving us nuts. Somebody in the meeting said, hey, remember Jimmy Crenna, comedian? He goes, oh, yeah, Cabo. And they go, well, you know, this is a DJ. And they go, what? And he goes, yeah. He didn't know it's a DJ. So he said, I think he may qualify. So they looked it up, and they go, the guy goes, shit, he's more qualified than the other guys.
So you got the award.
It's like, well, yeah. So he flew me down, and they had all these, like, you know, like great musicians from every band you can imagine jamming all week. At the end, I get the award. Well, they had a green room. In the green room, I hung out for 10 days with Mickey Dolenz and drank with him, the Monkees.
Oh, my God.
Which was amazing.
Wow.
He drunk and he was singing, I'm a believer.
Like, so like, that's where you...
Having him with bourbon, I'm a believer, singing like, you know, I'm a believer. So I don't know.
Amazing.
Just, yeah.
Amazing.
So in his honor, I sing this song.
Well, we want to hear...
It was a long story, but still.
All about...
Yes.
A weird story.
Murder on the Orient Express. Agatha Christie gets some credit, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
She put it together, but Mariah C. Kaminsky is your director with the O'Reilly Theater, Pittsburgh Public Theater, and we'll talk more about it in just a moment. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland. Sheila back with us for the next episode. Excited to have Mariah C. Kaminsky, who is directing Murder on the Orient Express, Pittsburgh Public Theater, finally back.
Oh,
with
yes.
This great show with Laura Nemitz.
Lenora.
Helena Ruati, David Whalen.
Oh, yeah. Marty
just
Giles.
To name a few.
It is brimming with great Pittsburgh talent and a lot of darlings from the public stage. Folks we've seen do a lot of really exciting things and some new faces that folks will be, I think, dazzled by.
That would be interesting. It'd be an interesting play to see, right? It'd be interesting.
It is. It has been so fun. You know, sometimes you direct a play and you start like digging into it, you know, trying to solve the problems in it. And you find out that there's no there. But this has been every step of the way. Every time we peel a layer back, there is another layer to be discovered. And I hope that's what the audience experiences.
How do you explain it to someone who has never seen it, just to give them the thumbnail of what it's all about?
Oh.
It seems to me like it's the Clue game on stage.
Hey, that's pretty good.
While it's moving.
Yeah, definitely. Clue live on stage. Definitely.
On a moving train.
On a moving train. The stage also moves.
Really?
There's fog. There's blood. I mean, it's going to be all the good stuff.
Okay.
You know, I was thinking about this. It's sort of like Knives Out meets It Happened One Night with a like smattering of duck soup is like the style of it, you know? And it's all of these international travelers who are taking the most exquisite train from Istanbul to Paris. And there is a murder on board and they run into a snowdrift and they are stuck on board the train with a murderer. And luckily, Hercule Poirot is also there to solve the case.
Interesting.
Yes.
How about this? There was a billionaire, I think you know, the Hillmans.
Yeah, absolutely.
Remember Elsie Hillman? This was a very philanthropic family here.
Yes, yes.
So we were doing a children's hospital event where we had a gingerbread house built downtown, and we were raising money. And one of the premium items we had was a Lionel Train boxcar with our logo, KDK Radio, Iron City Beer, some other local on it.
Oh, yeah.
And Elsie Hillman, the billionaire, came in person.
Yeah.
And she walks into the studio with this gentleman I work with, Rob Pratt, and she goes, oh, this is so nice. You're giving these away? Yes, they're premium items. It's a train set. She goes, oh, my son's into trains. And we go, really? And she says, yeah, he just bought the Orient Express.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And Rob says,
like the Orient Express.
And Rob says, who put that out? Was it Lionel or is
right.
it? And she goes, oh no, he bought the Orient Express,
oh,
and she wasn't kidding.
My
so
goodness.
We actually know
who owns
vicariously
it?
Who actually so, owns the Orient Express.
That's awesome.
That's
wow. so Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that cool is that so wild.
Isn't
that's
that wild?
So Pittsburgh. Yeah, it's yes. Oh, yeah. It's really in the trains.
My son owns that Orient Express.
Wouldn't it be great to be that wealthy? Yeah, I'm in the trains. By the Orient Express.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
Sure.
Oh,
not.
Yeah.
So this is the first of a series of shows. The season
oh, yeah.
is underway. So you talked about just announcing some of the upcoming shows as
yeah.
well.
We are back to business. And Murder, if you do want to come see Murder on the Orient Express, get your ticket
now.
Soon. It is a hot ticket.
Today.
And then we're following up with August Wilson's Two Trains Running. It'll be set in the round. You'll be right in the diner, wow. right in August Wilson's world. And then we're having Leslie Nichol, who plays Mrs. Petmore on Downton Abbey. She's doing her solo show this summer. Wow. How the hell did I get here? Which I think we've all been asking for the last couple of years. Huh. And then we just announced next season. Do you want me to go through it?
Yeah,
I'm curious.
Great. Yeah. I mean, it's a wild ride. You know, we're calling it It's a New Day because it does feel like that to be back to business. Mm. We're starting with Raisin in the Sun by Lorraine Hansberry, you know, an American classic.
Yeah.
And then we are scooting over to Ohio for Christmas, and we're going to be doing a Christmas story in December on the O'Reilly stage.
Oh, really?
Going to be having a Pittsburgh-wide search for our Ralphie. So you
That's
heard
awesome.
It here first.
What to look for Ralphie?
Please
I know
do.
You got a Ralphie?
Yes.
Ooh.
Bernie Max.
You have him, Larry?
Yeah.
You got casting for me?
Maybe.
We'll work it out.
Yeah.
We're good.
And then we're coming back with A Midsummer Night's Dream in Harlem, set inspired by the Harlem Renaissance by resident director Justin Emeka, who did Sweat and American Sun with us. He'll also be directing Two Trains Running. Then I'll be directing Steel Magnolias, a show very close
wow.
to my heart.
Love the movie.
Love the movie. Powerhouse movie. And, you know, laughter through tears, the best emotion. And then we'll have two new plays. One is called Young Americans by an amazing American playwright, Lauren Yee. And the other is Frida Kahlo, Self-Portrait, which is a one-woman show about Frida Kahlo, which is acrobatic. The performer, Vanessa Severo, is just amazing. So that's what we'll be closing up with next year.
Hmm. Wow.
That's cool.
That's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work coming. But man, it is so good to be back. We'll have our first audience tonight. You know, our dress rehearsals, we have Point Park students come and sort of give us an audience and see where the laughs are and see where the laughs aren't.
How did you start getting... I love people with passion for what they do.
Oh, yeah.
Like I walked out of... Direct deposits. I used to walk out of the radio station and not get my check. Forget about it. I walk out of clubs without getting my checks or whatever.
That's, just loved what you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still do. So, you know, walk out of clubs without, I don't think of it. But anyway, point of making, I can see it in your eyes. You get that same thing.
Oh,
so
yeah.
What was it? What drove you? How did it kind of start? Where did somebody go? Were you a kid and just watched a play somewhere and say, oh my God, I'm going to do this? Or I'm.
Well, you know how, like, you enroll kids in sports to learn teamwork, and self-esteem. I mean, I'm sure sports are great, but I don't think you learn teamwork anywhere like you do in the theater. You know what I mean? Like, the show must go on. The set must be built. You must be in costume, and you are out there in front of an audience with all of your friends, whether you like it or not, on opening night. And that sort of excitement, I mean, I definitely caught the bug as a kid. But now, you know, I mean, it's a hard world out there. You know, it's a divided world. You know, do we all know our neighbors? And I feel like the theater is like the one place where you can still go sit next to somebody you don't know, have an emotional experience, have a laugh, have a drink, and walk out like a little closer to the people around you than you were. That's what keeps me coming back.
Cool. Yeah. Do you want to be an actress first?
Well, I think I did. But I think everybody wants to be an actor first. You don't know that you can also be a sound engineer.
Right,
you can also
be
a projection designer. You know, now there's so many wonderful forays into it. But yeah, definitely wanted to be an actor first.
What was your first public role?
Oh, gosh. I played Little Bunny Sue and Get Hoppin' in fourth grade. That was a big deal.
Nailed it. Every night, 30 shows, killed it.
But I was one of those kids that like did beauty pageants, was going to New York, did dance competitions and all that stuff. My parents really had me engaged in that. But I did my first real theater role in sixth grade. I did Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz. And there was no looking back. I was like,
you were done. That was it.
To hell with the other stuff. I want to be in rehearsal. I want to be sweating. I want long days. I want all of that.
So who are your favorite role models when you were coming up as far as actresses or actors?
Oh, gosh. What a great question. Larry Richard.
Mariah C. Kaminsky says Meryl Streep.
Yeah, I mean, of course, the greats, Meryl Streep, and also people who are making their own work, you know, people who, in the theater, you know, the, in the 80s and 90s, there were some wonderful solo performers writing their own work, and I was always kind of a weird kid, you know what I mean? Like, if they were casting Romeo and Juliet, I was, like, not obviously the Juliet. It was, like, you know, so I was hard to cast, so I really admire people who wrote their own work and, like, found their own way.
Right.
Yeah, like comedians, right? Yeah, truly, write your own material, sure. Write your own opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about stage versus screen? Because you've done both.
I still don't understand film. I mean, it's so hard. It's tedious. You know, I feel like as a performer, I've not directed film. I've only acted. I just feel like I have very little control over my performance. You know, when you're an actor on stage, mm-hmm. you control it beginning to end, you know, for better or for worse. But, you know, take after take on film, and then really the story lies in the editor's room, you know? So it's fun and it's so glamorous, but I still don't feel like I fully understand it. The stage mm-hmm. is really for me.
You got a live audience stage.
It's hard
to replace that feeling being on a stage. And I know watching Jim, it's a transformation that goes on when he takes the stage.
Yes.
He's been doing it so long. He's so comfortable. He feels in command. I could see it, and the audience response is in kind. That makes it worthwhile.
Yes.
Where you don't get that feedback if you're doing a film till
the people come out.
But you're not there to see other people's reactions.
Right. Totally.
Right. In the moment, you kind of know whether it's going well or not.
You sure do. You sure do. And I think that's why, you know, houses are selling out. Netflix is great. You can watch so many great comedians on Netflix, but you can only go and feel that energy live.
They get their whole vibe. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's live. Live.
And unfiltered.
Very unfiltered.
Murder on the Orient Express, Agatha Christie, but Mariah C. Kaminsky, Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland. We'll have a final thought in just a moment next. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland. Sheila back with us for our next episode. And this time we get a chance to talk to, from the Pittsburgh Public Theater director, really the creative director for everything that goes on, is Mariah C. Kaminsky, who came to us from Seattle, Washington.
Glad to be
with
here.
Her Pittsburgh husband. She actually dragged him back
home to
Lawrenceville.
Oh, yeah. Polish Hill.
Polish Hill.
Yes.
Very nice.
Polish Hill.
Love it.
How could I forget that? That's where my mother-in-law is from.
Oh, yeah.
Come to Michonne Oompa Club coming up
soon. Awesome.
Do you know where the Oompa Club is?
No, I've not been.
It's a secret. I'll show you.
Oh, will you please? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I'm a Pittsburgh guy. So, yeah, it's pretty cool, man. You know, Larry, you threw me off. We hit 28 shows. We never do final thoughts, but I'm thinking about that's a good feature.
Final thoughts.
I thought we were going to throw something out like real heavy. It's like kind of like,
Mariah.
Final thoughts.
So,
bacon is my favorite food.
I learned. In the play A Few Good Men, some things that I didn't really pay attention to or know before, and that was, it's customary after the show closes that the actors exchange little notes, little gifts, so I thought, well, what do you give the director? And I thought, I'm going to give Mariah a DVD of my movie, Amazing Racer.
Nice. There you go.
Very good. Mariah was very gracious. Thank you. She didn't tell me. We don't own a DVD player anymore. I don't know how I'm going to ever play this. But she was honest enough.
Oh, Larry, it's 1998. Thank you for this DVD.
So you had a performance of The Chief last year.
Yes, last fall.
You asked me to do, because I do the public address for the Steelers at Heinz Field, they thought it would be cool to do the curtain announcements.
So awesome.
In that voice.
Really cool, yeah.
You know, welcome to Heinz Field. So we kind of reconnected there.
Yeah.
And then Mariah sends me a note. Hey, she must have seen the DVD. This thing has been sitting here.
And the movie's really good, actually.
It is.
I highly recommend watching.
Thank you.
It's a good movie.
And so Mariah invites me to her home, which is this really cool space that
Polish Hill.
Oh, yeah.
They took this older home and reinvented it. And on the top story, they have a screening room slash office.
That's a lofty description of it, but yes, there's a projector. It's there's a screen.
Cool. But they still didn't have a DVD player.
It's true.
So I owe Mariah, I think it's for $5.99 for the download, because they had to get the digital download. And we had a couple.
But you brought the wine and chocolate, actors. Larry, which was pretty great.
Guess. Yes. Tell Jimmy. Jimmy's one of the partners in the Yinzer cards and chocolate. I gave her a Yinzer card.
Very nice, yeah.
We fought over that chocolate for weeks.
Sarah's candy.
Oh, yeah.
And Dick Roberts is one of the other partners,
God.
Along with...
I had no idea.
Yes.
Rob Rogers, the great political cartoonist.
Yes.
CMU grad, very, very talented, right?
Oh, yeah. Good company.
So you have this creative mind. Dick Roberts is a two-brain guy, like you. And that means you have the creativity, but you also have to have that right brain
sense.
With that business sense.
Oh, sure.
Well, otherwise, you can't really be a successful director in the theater.
That's true.
You have to, well,
that's true.
Dick Roberts, I'm supposed to be the comedian, writer. Dick always says I was the best ideas.
Well, Dick's like, he's
so good that I take credit for him. That's how good
he
is.
Hey, there you go. And that sounds like a good partnership.
He throws out these ideas, and then... we mull them over. Jimmy comes up with a thing, and Dicko goes, that's perfect. And then Rob will illustrate it, putting a little twist of his own in the artwork. Not unlike what an editor does with a film, where it's a different vision along the way.
Yeah.
So you have the director's vision, and then
and then
there's the editor. They usually don't want the writer around, do they?
They don't. In film, they don't. In theater, we cling to them.
Stephen King is one of the most prolific horror novelists of our time,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
They don't want him around a movie set. They just don't.
Why? Because he has so many ideas.
Yeah, and it's once you get a game plan and a budget, you're like, that's nice.
That's true. That's
Stephen, please go away.
So in the theater, you want the writer around.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It centers around the playwright. You know, it's like if you develop playwrights, everybody works, right? The plays are written. The plays are happening. Also, speaking of Stephen King, I must say, it does feel like a theater day around here. And I just have to plug, there's so much great theater happening in Pittsburgh right now. Misery is coming up at Bare Bones Theater. Plano at Quantum. And Paradise Blue just closed at City Theater, and it was amazing.
Misery would be
tremendous.
A good stage play.
I mean,
very much.
Horrifying.
Awesome, right? Awesome.
You seen the film?
Yeah, a long time ago.
That hobbling scene is still hard to take.
Oh, yeah. Get ready. Get ready. It's going to be amazing. I mean, see Murder on the Orient Express first, Jimmy, but then go to Misery.
Jimmy and I have lived this to some degree, right?
Absolutely.
Not hobbling? The hobbling part.
No, not that part.
It never got that far.
What are you talking about?
Stalkers.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah.
How much time do we have? I want to know more.
Well, when you look like this, people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Aren't you a famous actor?
Huh?
No, but there.
You have it for.
So there was a woman.
You have a few?
She's gone on.
Okay.
But she followed my career. Yeah. She showed up at my wedding. She showed up in places.
Geez.
She had the pancake makeup like a Kotobuki actor.
Wow.
And she was a dead ringer for Kathy Bates.
Whoa.
Oh, so when I saw the film,
you're gonna be in bed and that's it.
I kept getting elbows like, this is your life. That's going to be you.
My
I can't
Lord.
Talk my stuff because they're all alive right now. So. I don't want to ignite anything.
Be respectful.
Be respectful.
We'll do that in episode. I don't know. Pick an episode number down the road.
Oh, yeah, we want them to.
I'll show up for that. Yeah. Like, so, ask some questions.
Outside of theater, you've had an unusual opportunity to immerse yourself in Pittsburgh and Yinzer.
Oh,
and how have you adapted now being a Polish Hill resident and official Pittsburgher?
Oh, I mean, I definitely feel like Pittsburgh is my home, but I do think it takes several decades to be an official Pittsburgher.
No,
isn't that true?
Mike Lang told me.
We have
Lang
the power.
Said 5 years.
Oh, five
is
years.
Is that what it is?
Mike told me once. It's five years, you're kind of an honorary Pittsburgher. 10 years, you're really
there.
In.
You're almost there.
Okay,
and
okay.
Jimmy has the power to
anoint
you. Yeah, I can anoint you.
He can.
It was in 2012. The proclamation that they made me, I'm the ambassador. 2012, I was named ambassador.
He's a Yinzer ambassador.
I was ambassador.
Do you realize?
It is my lucky day. Yes.
I can anoint you.
How about this?
I can do it.
How about this? I don't want to put you on the spot.
Let's talk about it.
But
I'll apply.
Mariah knows.
Take the quiz.
Mariah knows talent when she sees it.
That's right.
One of our episodes was with a gentleman who lived in a real, not just a haunted house, a demon-possessed
very
house.
Very bad. Yeah.
In Pittsburgh?
Yes. And it was a book.
Oh, my Lord.
Yes, Scary Demon.
And now they're supposed to make a film about it.
Not
for real.
On Scary Demons, but still.
So in this film, now he sat right where you're sitting and told us the story. It was very riveting. And whoa, this was a guy that used to be county commissioner of Allegheny County. It wasn't just some, you know,
yeah,
right,
whack job.
Some vagabond.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy who held a very important public office, and he was very reluctant at first to tell this story for obvious reasons. He didn't want people to think,
don't want to lose the demon, vote your dad.
Right. So, in the story.
You're scaring me.
He scares me too. Larry, yeah. He tells the story again.
They went out and got an exorcist.
That's part of the game.
Now, here's Pittsburgh. You talk about a half person from everybody. Mariah, wait till you hear this. Seated right here, Jim Krenn says, I know an exorcist.
I know the exorcist.
But it turns out it was the guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. My.
You got to tell her that part of the story.
I do this retreat at this monastery on Southside.
Okay.
And the exorcist priest, I don't think he wants me to say it.
Sure.
Anyway, he's in a book. I said, yeah, Father Mike. Great guy. So I says, Father Mike here. And they said, nah, he's either on the road. If he's in town, he's here. We haven't seen him or something. So the next day in the retreat, he happens to be at lunch. And I come over, I sit down next to him.
Okay. The exorcist.
Yeah.
Father Mike.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I said, hey, you the exorcist? And he goes, yeah. And he started talking about it because he wasn't like it. He's like, yeah. He goes, And he's retired. My favorite line he said, he goes, exorcism is a young man's game.
That sounds like a final thought.
It is. Yeah.
So
it's a young man's game. And I said, really? He goes, yeah.
It's a good final thought.
It's not easy to get exorcist. You have to go like this. It's a class. Like, if I wanted to be one, I'd have to go to the Vatican. Wow. I'd have to go to this class for like a year or something like that to be an exorcist. You don't need to know.
Did he expound on why? Like, it's physically taxing?
Yes.
Or, yeah, I bet it is.
It is very physically taxing.
Mentally.
Sometimes it takes time. He says, you don't run into many demons, though. That's really not rare. Oh. He said, rare in his career as a demon.
Don't you have a guy that didn't Bob Azzelli, who owns 23rd and Vine, tell us there's a guy that comes by that says he's an exorcist, too?
I didn't know that.
Or he knows the exorcist.
I would like to meet this person. No, I don't know who this is.
Remember Vic Sianca, the cop that used to direct people? He was on candid camera.
Famous.
That's his son.
So Pittsburgh.
Oh, cool.
I think he's an exorcist.
Really?
But my point of bringing this up to Mariah is...
Oh, God, what's your point?
I often hear that. What is your point?
There's only one.
Wait. You know where this is going.
Oh, yeah, I do now. I'm sorry. I was thinking.
Since you're a director, we're going to put Jim on the spot because we want him to audition for the role of the exorcist.
For Father Mike.
For the film. He wants to be Father Mike.
I think I can play.
But he's going to add a Pittsburgh twist.
What's a Pittsburgh story?
So
what's the Pittsburgh twist?
It's you gotta have a little accent. You gotta have a dialect.
Yeah,
or it doesn't work.
Authentic.
He's a Pittsburgh priest.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Authentic Yinzer accent.
Yeah, you gotta red up the house, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The demons in it. They say we gotta call the priest from.
So I make the call. Father Mike, please come. Mike arrives at the door.
Yes.
And he comes in and.
Oh, I walk in. I have my little bag.
Yeah. Yeah. Exorcism bag.
I look around. And I go, demon. Get out of house! Get out of house! And your name is Chuck Noll, Jack Lambert, and then Swan. You leave now.
I think you nailed it. Man.
I'd see that film. I'd see that film. Yes, and I know who to call. If I ever have trouble.
If you don't get that role,
it's a crime.
There's nobody else.
In this world. That's a crime, right?
There's nobody else that could do that role.
No,
nobody.
Nope. Just me and Nicholson. That's it.
Maybe Jack.
Jack, you're the other
guy. Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express,
awesome.
Pittsburgh Public Theater, now showing.
Now showing, yeah.
Director is Mariah C. Kaminsky. Can't thank you enough.
Thanks,
I know
Mariah.
You're busy, especially now, but we want to help relaunch live stage performances. And
thank
a big
you.
Fan so of cool. your work for all the obvious reasons, because obviously you're a gifted woman that has great taste.
Yeah, well, I found you, right? I found my way to you.
And it's a beautiful theater.
Oh, thank you. It is. It is.
Though?
And it feels real good.
It's
down
intimate.
In the cultural district but, right
there's
now.
There's not
yes.
one bad seat in the house in that
that
theater.
Is it's so right? true. It's absolutely true.
It's the most interesting,
true.
Intimate theater.
Yes, thank
it
you.
It is very cool
If you
cool
have not
space.
Been there, come check it out. This is the show
please
to do
Please do. Mariah, thank you.
Oh, thanks, what a pleasure. This has been a blast.
It just dawned on me. Yes, you found me. In a wine cellar on the south side.
Again.
In a basement.
Again. Yeah, so, hey, it is what it is. We want to thank our producer, Dick Roberts, Jim Pitolsky, whose company is officially Face for Radio, Marcello. Thank you, brother. And Sheila Hyland will return for episode 29.
Yep, we're getting there.
Bob Bozzelli, Luke Caputo, who own 23rd and Vine.
You're invited. It's episode 50. I'm planning something. I don't know what it is.
Oh, I can't wait. 50. I'll be here.
Sure. All right. It'll be an audition.
Big party. Big party.
I hope that role comes out for
you,
man. I
hope so, too. I think
I really
it will.
Do.
We're willing. It's kind of like the secret. We'll wish it.
Mariah,
just like
is it proper to say to the director, break a leg?
Oh, always.
Always?
Always, yes.
Well, I hope this
break legs and hearts. This that's is what I like to say. Okay.
A that's new okay. beginning for a whole great season.
Yeah. We need
more.
This.
Thank you.
We need this.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Larry Richard with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland. That's a wrap.